This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I am Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson, and this is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio. And Matt, looking here at some of the grades, everybody has grades now for the drafts. Yeah. Everybody does them. And so Football Outsiders, as it has done the last few years, in fact, they go back, they've done this for going all the way back to 2004.
Wow.
Doing these post-draft grades. Went ahead, and what they do is they take all the different people who give grades for this. And this year, they used 21 different sets of experts.
Yeah, a lot of names we know.
You know, a lot of names we know, a lot of people that you, from all across the internet. And then they average that out, and you get a grade out of it.
And they call it your QPA. You know, like if you get an A, you get a 0.0, a B is a 3, you know. Pretty interesting. I mean, that's a big project. And what we don't know is how everyone's standards are to grade. You know, do you give team credit for, boy, they did a lot with a little, or are you just, looking at, what did I bring into the building in terms of rookies this weekend, including Thursday?
So right.
Interesting, yeah.
So the team that got the highest grade, had the highest QPA in this draft, the Philadelphia Eagles, their GPA, I should say, 4.17, which is the highest GPA on record. You're being graded on, I guess, if you get an A+, do you get...
That's what I was going to say. This doesn't reflect my high school or college career at all.
I wouldn't know about any A pluses. So,
right. I mean, I think an A gets you 4. So does an A plus get you 4.25?
It must get you at least 4.5 or something. They got 13 A pluses, and their lowest grade was a B+ from Chad Reuter from NFL.com.
I think they would be my number one team. I mean, in terms of the haul. But they probably get some benefits of the doubt that maybe not every team gets because of their recent successes.
Yeah. Number two on this list, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They finished with a 3.91. They got 4 A pluses, and their lowest grade, they got 4 total B pluses.
I'll be honest. I mean, of the 32 teams, I'm probably harshest. I don't do post-draft grades, but I'm probably harshest on the Steelers. I know them the best. You know, I think I get in their head better than the other teams. And I'm really having a hard time finding any nits to pick. I mean, it went well. The plan was strong. They got value. I liked how they moved around and then recouped that pick too after moving up. And I mean, I think anyone listening that paid any attention to us pre-draft, if you told them this is going to be your haul, we both would have probably laughed at you and been like, that's great, but I don't
think that's never going to happen. I mean, the guys that they ended up drafting were all guys that we mocked them a lot, but in different mock drafts, because a lot of times, like, okay, you got to take Darnell Washington at 32 or 49, or, Keanu Benton.
Everyone was the pick before.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll get Broderick Jones, but okay, we'll take Porter at 17. Cool.
Right. They got value. Like, they got value, like a whole draft pick value from each one of their guys.
Like, it's even almost Herbig. Like they got a guy a rung later on the ladder than we thought.
And every time. Yeah.
Every time. Like, I assume I said this on the air because we talked so much draft, but I really warmed up to Benton going into this thing, not knowing they would end up with him. And I thought, in this defensive tackle class, I'd take him at 32. Well, they get him noticeably later. Same guy.
Yeah, same guy. And again, you look at that, it's Porter. You would have taken him at 17. Well, you get him at 32.
Washington. I mean, frankly, this sounds crazy, but if they would have got this haul without Broderick Jones, I'd have been like, yeah, that's about right.
That's a pretty good draft, yeah.
Yeah.
The Colts come in with a 3.74. They get 5 A-pluses and 3 Bs.
I'm a Richardson fan to build around, but there's a real theme to this one. I mean, other than Downs, the receiver, all their dudes are really athletic, long testers. You know, like, hey, coaching staff, here's a bunch of moldable clay. Go to work. That's why we're paying you.
Yeah. Just so you know, the Steelers at a 3.91 to finish second. The Colts were at 3.74. So there's a bit of a gap there.
About the same gap from 1-2 to 2-1. And did you say that the Eagles had the best grade in their history of doing this?
In the history of doing this, yes.
So most years, the Steelers would have been one.
Most years, yes. The Seahawks came in with a 3.65. They got two A pluses and one C plus.
I like the players. I mean, we both loved Smith Najigba. Witherspoon's really good. Didn't do a ton on the lines. And the Charbonnet pick to me is a little off the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially, you know, given what you already have. Like,
Right.
How many running backs you need?
Yeah. Right. And it took another running back at the end. They took the dude from Georgia, McIntosh.
Yeah. At five were the Giants with a 3.43. They got an A plus from one grader. They got a C minus from another. That's a pretty large difference.
It is. But I really like three of their picks. I mean, their interior line was bad, and now you throw John Michael Schmitz there in 57th pick overall. Good value. I thought Jalin Hyatt was way overrated as a first rounder, but to get him third, I think they did. And he's so much different than all the slots they have.
Until he gets hurt.
That's a man-to-man corner, which is exactly what they want.
Yeah. The lowest grades. The San Francisco 49ers got a 1.79, a Blue Tarski-like 1.79. They got a 1B plus and three Fs. And just for the sake of, they were only five Fs given out, and they got three of them.
I don't know how you give them a B plus. I understand.
I have no idea.
There's a lot of no names, a lot of special teamers, an early kicker. Early kicker is hard for me to wrap my head around.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't get that at all. I mean, I mean, they didn't have a pick for a long time, you know, until the third round. Then they traded up to get Jair Brown, who I like Jair Brown, but the trade up to go get him.
Yeah. Right. I mean, he's fine, but we can give something extra to get him. Now, my numbers I know are wrong, but I host a podcast with a Niners guy, and he went back and did the research of all the drafted kickers in the last 10 years. Anyone that was drafted that's a kicker, there's like two of them that got a second contract with their team. The hit rate's awful.
Awful. It's terrible. Awful. Yeah, you're better off just, you know, I mean, they went and got Robbie Gould, and he kicked for them for a long time. They pulled him off the scrap heap from the Bears.
Right. And they're looking at it. Like, I've heard some trying to justify it. Like, we have to sign Nick Bosa, so we can't be spending money on kickers anymore. All right, draft one the seventh round.
Right. You know, or just, you know, bring five of them to camp and try them out.
Right.
You know, whatever.
Right. Side note, because I went into this conversation with my co-host. I'm like, with all respect to special teams coaches out there, I bet most of them aren't even good at evaluating kickers. They're good at putting together pass protection or pass field goal block teams and motivating safeties and turning running backs into gunners and things like that. Like, I bet there's very few truly great evaluators of kickers on the planet.
Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah. The Washington Commanders had the 31st draft. They had a 2.20. So you had the 49ers at 1.79. And the Commanders at a 2.20. It's a pretty big gap.
Yeah. I say, I don't know who would be my 31st. I don't think it would be Washington. Their secondary got better. Their O-line got better. I mean, I understand that. I don't think it was a terrible draft.
At 30 are the Denver Broncos. They got one A minus, and they got an F. So they had a 2.28.
I mean, they didn't have much, you know, much to work with, obviously. I'm sure some people are harder on them for Mims because they have receivers, but I don't think they're happy with any of them.
Yeah. 29. Like, yeah. 29 was the Dolphins. They got a 2.30. They got a B plus and two Ds.
I mean, they had a 4-pick draft and two of them were a 6th and 7th rounder. So they really only made two picks.
Yeah. At 28, also getting a 2.30. Were the Cowboys, they get one A and one F.
I didn't look at them at that light, but when you pull it up, I'm pretty rough on the Cowboys draft. It's starting with Mazi Smith. I think that's too early. Dallas has drafted great, but I'm not big on this haul at all, to be very honest with you.
Yeah, this
too early, you know.
Yeah,
I didn't value or, you know, getting high value guys at all.
I didn't see it. Yeah, the most polarizing grades. You had the Denver Broncos getting an A- and also an F.
That's pretty
a pretty gap. Yeah, pretty extreme gap. You had the 49ers getting a B+ and three Fs.
Well, by the sound of things, that B+ kind of stood out as the sore thumb, and things closer to Fs were in line.
Yeah, more the
get a D total.
You had the Lions getting three A's and a D.
I could see them being polarizing because they are all brand name players that'll play soon at nose tackle, tight end, slot corner, running back, and off the ball linebacker. Like the cheapest positions you could find.
Yeah. You had the Cleveland Browns getting an A-, two A-, and a D.
Hmm. I don't hate what they did. I mean, they didn't have
What they did either, but.
Yeah. I don't know that I'd be giving them an A-.
We don't have a pick until the third round. I got a hard time giving you an A. A, like an A. A should be really tough to get.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you're only judging it on what we added those 3 days, which I think the majority of these guys did by the look to this. And their haul wasn't a top 20 haul. I think they did well with their picks.
The Arizona Cardinals got an A+ from one grader and a D from another.
They got some decent players. I mean, their roster needed everything. And if they end up with a super high pick, I guess you give that the A+ part, you know, the future picks that you got. But I don't think anyone's judging it that way. I think you're just looking at the players.
Yeah. If you look at just the AFC North, according to this, of course, the Steelers had the second best draft in the NFL this year based on the grades.
Mm-hmm.
The Cincinnati Bengals had the ninth best draft based on the grades. They had a 3.30.
Okay. I mean, I thought they were about as even Steven as anybody. You know, they picked about what you would expect. Of course, they didn't move up or move down. I thought it was a very average draft. Not bad, not good.
Kind of what they do.
Kind of what they do, yeah.
The Baltimore Ravens had the 11th best draft. They got a 3.18.
I have a problem with that. I mean,
they got three A's. They got three A's and two C pluses.
There's a little bit of propaganda going on.
I think they get a little more. They're just a great drafting team. They had five picks in this draft.
And if you look at their last drafts, they averaged like 10 or 11 picks, tons of fourths and third rounders because of the comp game. And they haven't got much out of it. Like, they're a really strong organization. I mean, if I was on Ravens Nation Radio, I'd be saying the same thing. But they're a little overrated in terms of what they've brought in the draft lately.
Yeah. I mean, the things that happened there, you know, I can remember when I was still writing at DK Pittsburgh Sports and mm-hmm. you know, Eric DaCosta, every time Eric DaCosta did something, wow, there were a couple of posters on there. What a great move by Eric DaCosta. He's playing chess and everybody else is playing checkers. What has he done?
I don't know about that. I mean,
what's he done? What have they won? Nothing.
And they really didn't get much better this offseason.
They got worse.
Kept Lamar, you know, but yeah.
Then you have the Browns at 22nd. They had a 2.62.
I like some of their picks, but they're late. You know, I mean, they got a huge D lineman. They got a huge O lineman. If one of those two hits, has some value. I think they're going to throw the ball more, and Tillman's a quality player. But there's no blue chips. There's no difference makers.
Yeah, there's nobody there that is this a foundational type piece.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I look at what the Steelers did in this draft, and I know it's not fair because they were the second best.
Of course.
But they got some foundational guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, my favorite pick for the Browns, hopefully never matters, is Dorian Thompson-Robinson because he plays sort of like Deshaun. I mean,
yeah.
He's not good, of course. And if you're going to have a $70 million quarterback, your backup has to be a fifth-round pick that's not making any money. You know, like, that's the kind of stuff you have to do.
That's what you have to do. There's no doubt about it because you just can't afford or, you know, it's Josh Dobbs that you get off the scrap heap.
Wage guy, yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at those bottom of the top draft. We mentioned the top five. So it was Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, Seattle, the Giants, the Texans, the Cardinals, Chicago, Cincinnati, and Carolina.
Some of those are the guys picking very early. You know, yeah. The Bears were.
You better hit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody better like those picks when you're picking that early. Right. At the bottom, San Francisco last, Washington, Denver, Miami, Dallas, Jacksonville, Atlanta.
I was down on Jacksonville's draft. I don't think they're going to be happy with that group.
Yeah. Atlanta at 26, the Jets at 25, Minnesota at 24, the Rams at 23, and the Browns at 22. If the Steelers don't trade up for Broderick Jones and the Jets take him, I think they would have. Does that change the outlook on their draft dramatically?
I would say. And they took the Pitt kid later, but that would have probably been the D end or D lineman, you know, and it probably shapes up better. Yeah, I think that hurt them. And I think it stunned them a little bit.
Also, yeah, a little bit.
That high. I mean, the Rams made a ton of picks, but I mean, that's being a little kind to the Rams.
Yeah. There were 14 teams that graded out with a 3.0 or better.
Okay.
Which means that there were 18 teams that were just kind of average.
Just kind of average. Wasn't a tremendous draft class. I don't know how that ranks to most years when they do this. Does it end up being like a C-plus average? I don't know.
Yeah,
but Steelers are pretty firmly at number two. Yeah.
Just for a reference point here, let's go back and look at and see, since they have them all here, let's look at 2022 and see what the highest rated grade or the highest grade was last year. This may take a second here. Of course, the Ravens got the top draft card. Because that's what happens. They get a 4.04.
4.04. Okay. I mean, it's over an A. So they made I'm pulling up draft history. They had 11 picks. 10 of them were in the fourth round or earlier. And they didn't get much out of them in their rookie year. I mean, Ajabo still hasn't played. But you're talking about Hamilton, Linderbaum, Ajabo, Travis Jones, Falele, Armour Davis, Kolar, Jordan Stout, the punter, Isaiah Likely, Damian Williams. Those were all fourth-round picks or better. They didn't get much out of that group.
They didn't. Looking at the Steelers draft from last year, they get a 3.08, which was actually eighth. So the grading was a little tougher last year, apparently.
I can see that. Well, fewer quarterbacks. I mean, I think the teams that took quarterbacks high get the benefit of the doubt. You know, the Colts, Panthers. And I'm sure half the people thought Pickett was a good pick and half of them thought it was a bad pick.
Yeah, they got, if I'm looking at this here, they got an A. And then Thor Nystrom gave him a D. D.
Not a Pickett fan.
Yeah. Well, he's a tough grader. He gave the Houston Texans an F. Like, when you're looking at the lowest grades here, like, a lot of them are Nystrom. The Bengals got a D.
Classes are four.
There's another F from Nystrom. There's a D minus from Nystrom. He just, he kills people. Brutal. He's a tough grader. Tough grader.
Yeah.
But that was the football or the draft grades from Pro Football Outsiders.
Did you say Thor drops the hammer on him?
Thor does drop the hammer. Yeah, absolutely. That's a good way to put that. Hey, you can subscribe now to our show. Every episode we do is available for you to download. Subscribe today through the Steelers mobile app, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you find your podcasts. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.